page in the front or in the back or someplace where you can write down. But I want to give you something tonight that will help you along the road of life. I'm a strong believer that people ought to know the chronological history of the Bible. They ought to know there's a beginning, and they ought to know there's an end, and they ought to know that God has this thing pre-planned and down and right. And it's, and so I'm going to give you eight C's that will give you biblical history, or all of history, the eight C's of history tonight. You might want to write down eight C's to understand history. And not just biblical history, because biblical history is true history. So the first thing is, number one is creation. You got to write these down. You got to teach these to your kids. The first event is creation. And I put these in C's so to kind of help you understand. And then there's corruption. Of course, creation, Genesis chapter 1, and then you get corruption in chapter 3. So if you want to write Genesis chapter 3 right there, what was corruption? That's when Satan corrupted man and caused him to fall. That's corruption. Whenever that which God had created was corrupted by sin. All right, then the third thing. By the way, you can get seven of these out of the Answers in Genesis website that I mentioned to you, that you might want to go to answersingenesis.org. And they have a whole deal on this, but they've got seven, but I always got to add a little bit to something, you know, anyway. But the third thing is the curse. Now, I'll tell you what, listen, every child in the world needs to understand the curse. Because the curse is what brings death. The curse is what brings tears and sorrow and bloodshed and suffering and war. And all the pain and misery you've ever known came because of the corruption that brought the curse. And if your children don't understand that, they're going to go through their entire life wondering why, well, who's God, why did God allow this, and why did, and Satan's going to continuously pump their minds with, oh, if God's a loving God, why does He allow this, and if God's all powerful, why did He let this happen, and if God's all powerful, why did He let this happen? When the fact of it is that God has told you why those things happen. Why does a 20-year-old boy die in a motorcycle accident? Listen, we're in a cursed world where all of you and I are going to die too unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. So corruption brought the curse. And the curse, also after the curse, we have the catastrophe. That's the flood. Genesis chapter 5. Let me tell you something. You better believe the flood. You better believe the flood is worldwide. The flood is the answer to every lying evolutionist science teacher and across the Wright County and Douglas County and Webster County. Amen. You listen to me. You tell a kid he come from a monkey and you teach that stuff, you better have a big cement block around your feet, according to the Word of God, because it's better for you to have a millstone hung about your neck and drown the depths of the sea than to offend one of these little ones. And you, offend means to cause to stumble and lose the truth. And so you better understand there's a catastrophe in the flood. Is the and by the way, the Bible, did you know somebody says, well, can anybody give me proof that there's a God? Can you give me proof there's a God? If I was an atheist tonight and you invited me to come to church, or I was an evolutionist and I came to church, can you give me evidence that there's a God? Can you give me evidence there's creation? Did you know the Bible says you should be able to? Because Romans chapter 1 says the things that are created are clearly seen. Clearly seen. I thank God for living in the Ozarks, and I'm sure other parts of the country are the same way you can find things, but the Ozarks, absolutely, the geology of the Ozarks proves the flood. You're living on top of proof of the flood. Norway's got sinkholes. How them sinkholes get in here? How do rivers all start from off the 60 Highway Ridge? You got Fox Creek running south, you got Bryant Creek running south, you got North Fork running south, and then you got Beaver running north, and Piney running north, and you got Gasconade running north. And then they all go down to the ocean. How'd that wind up? Yeah, in Whetstone. I'm going to tell you something. If you know this book, I'm telling you something. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And that's what you got to do. And don't be afraid to do it. He didn't know. He might have been innocent. But you know what? I mean, that sounds real good. These are 10 million old. Would you like to have an knife made out of a 10 million old? You know. But I can't figure out how them fossils get up on top of the mountains. How'd they get down in them recessed places down in top? And the flood gives you, not just the flood, by the way, because the Bible also talks about all the other catastrophic events that occurred with the flood, such as volcanic and breaking up to the deep, man alive. Did you know we have no, really, it would be almost extremely hard for you and I to even comprehend what was happening to the face and crust of this earth during that time process. You can imagine, I want to tell you something, you get a 5-inch rain here, buddy, or an 8-inch rain, and I'm telling you, things are going to move. Can you imagine just a downpour, a deluge for 40 days and 40 nights, combined with an upheaval from the great fountains of the deep, combined with earthquakes that are busting the cracks in the face of the earth? I'm telling you something, folks, listen. It takes a lot less faith to believe the Bible than it does to believe this nonsense that doesn't even make sense. Anyway, if you don't understand that there was a catastrophe, and by the way, and that's where you get Noah, and that's where you get Noah's three sons, and that's where you get the dispersion of the population on earth. Now, after catastrophe, number, the next thing you need is confusion. Somebody says, I wonder how there's so many different races and so many. By the way, there's not really any, there's just one race. If you believe your Bible, there's not several races. There's not the Chinese and the blacks and the Indians and the whites, according to Scripture. Acts, read your book. Now, he said he did set before the bounds of their habitations. Can I tell you something? Where we get in trouble is when we cause people to be moved out of the bounds of their habitations that God hath before appointed. But we're one race. Just have different pigment skins. That's the truth. But man concocted that. By the way, do you know where the racial issue comes from? Come from evolutionists. And Hitler bought into Darwinism. That's how he got Hitler. That's what he based his whole thing off of, was evolution. Amen. That's right. But confusion, that's the Tower of Babel. What'd God do? God separated and confused the languages. Did you ever wonder why people don't speak the same language across the world? Because God confused them at the Tower of Babel. Duh. I mean, it's just, you know, if you know your history, you know the Bible, you got the answer. What's the evolutionist say? How come all the, well, over billions of years? Well, the next big thing, number six, Christ. You know what? That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Billions of years. You know what that means? I don't know nothing, so I say that number so I don't have to admit I don't know nothing. That's what they're saying. I don't know nothing. So I just use that number that boggles your mind to hide the fact that I don't know anything, that I don't know what happened. Did you know there's absolutely no proof of evolution anywhere in the world right now? Anywhere. None. Zero. Period. None. Now, there's some little guys will get up and talk about mutations. That is not evolution. And variations are not evolution. And I'm going to ask you a question. I'm breaking off of Wednesday night in case you weren't here Wednesday night. It's a break off Wednesday night. But how many learned Wednesday night something about dinosaurs? What'd you learn about dinosaurs? They were on the ark. How many of you don't believe that dinosaurs are on the ark? Because they were here 10 million years ago and they couldn't have been on the ark. Well, you don't believe the Bible yet. But I want to ask you something. If you don't think they were on the ark, you weren't there. God said he bought every kind. Every kind. All right? If every kind is every kind, every kind is every kind. All right? So listen, I'm just telling you tonight, listen, you better start believing the Bible. Now, what size was the average dinosaur? About the size of a German shepherd dog. A big German shepherd dog, the average size of a dinosaur. Well, they couldn't have got all them animals in the ark. I tell you what, you do tonight. While I'm preaching, you don't want to listen to me preach. Just start right now thinking of all the big animals that you know of. The different species. You won't even fill the first of your page. And you think Noah couldn't get them all in there? We've listened to too much garbage. We've listened to too much lies. We've listened to so much stuff we can't even learn. We don't even think how to think ourselves. After confusion, the next big event in the Bible in history is Christ coming, Bethlehem, to die for our sins on the cross and pay for our sins and to become a curse for us and buy redemption for us and reconcile us to God. And that's through the cross. This cross, by the way, is a pivotal event in history. Number seven. And then number eight, if you want to do your biblical your history of the world, is consummation. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ, which is in two phases, coming for the church and coming with the church and ruling and reigning on the earth. And that's history. If you put that in your Bible, you'll know him. You don't have to wonder. You'll know history. Some of you went to school 12 years and didn't get that. Some of you went 16 years and didn't get that. Isn't it amazing in America you can go to school 16 years? Some of you are going to go to college and you're going to be taught creation. That's the dumbest. What are you wasting your money for? Now, I'm not saying you waste your money, but isn't it crazy that you can go to school, college, pay for college, and never even teach you about the creation? They never even teach you who the first man, first woman was. You'd think if you're going to study history. I'm a history major. They never even taught you who the first man and first woman was. Well, anyway, you see, I have a bias against the devil. And I've got it in for him. I'm a guinea. Well, says, I listen to no more preacher than I said. I think he's against sin. He's preaching. He's against sin. I want to give you some. How many like to have a better life? Like to have a better life? All right. I want you to write these things down. Don't turn anywhere, but you write these scriptures down. We're going to do this. Have a little bit of fun tonight, and we'll go home. Are you ready? I want to preach on things that are better tonight. Things that are better. I like things that are better. Amen? There's no advertising. Everything better with butter on it. Blue bonnet. Everything better with blue bonnet on it. I'm that old. How many members that old advertising? Everything better with blue bonnet on it. But I'm going to tell you something. Everything better with the Bible. The first thing you need to learn is better. That God says many, many times in Scripture that there's some things that are better. There's some things that are better. And I want you to get these now. These are a lot of fun. This is fun. Okay, this is, I'm not preaching. I'm just having fun tonight. 1 Samuel 15, verse number 20. God says it's better to obey than to sacrifice. God said, I'd rather you do what's right than give money. I'd rather you tell the truth than serve and do all kinds of things for me. I'd rather you just do right. I'd rather you obey the Bible. God said it's better to obey than to sacrifice. Number two, in Psalms 37:16, the Bible said, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Amen? God said it's better off you be poor than to be rich, and said, but be righteous and be wicked. He said it's better to do that. Psalm 63, verse number 3, he said, thy loving kindness is better than life. And that's the truth. Can I tell you something tonight? Without the loving kindness of God in your life don't amount to anything. And that's why this world's in just a spinning down despair. In Psalm 69, verse 30, I will praise the name of God with song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This shall please the Lord better than bullocks. You know what God said? He said, rather than you bringing all your stuff and having a big whoop to do, He said, I'd just rather you praise my name and thank me for who I am. He said, that'll please me better than all the other stuff you're doing. Now, can I tell you something, to be honest with you? Unless you're praising Him during the week and during the day and you're thanking God, all the other stuff you're doing ain't going to matter. But can I tell you this tonight? This honest truth. If you'll praise Him and thank Him and say, bless the name of the Lord, O my soul. Bless His holy name, all that's within me. Bless the name of the Lord. And you live in that, you look forward to getting church on Sunday. I promise you will. I want to tell you something. God is looking for somebody that's praising Him. And He said, that's better than all that stuff you're doing. It's better than all that stuff. God says, I like that better. Amen. All right. Number here. I don't know what number it is, but Psalms 118, verse 8 and 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. You want to give Reggie Kelly a version of that? It's better to trust God than to put trust in the government. Oh. It continues to say there in the next verse, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care if God resurrected Ronald Reagan and put him in the White House. We'll trust Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan if he resurrected from the dead, he couldn't fix all the problems in America. Only God can fix America. And God says, you put your trust in princes. Don't put your trust in the government. I better not stop there. Amen. We'd get parked for a long time. You know, Donnie's got a favorite subject. Anybody know what it is? How many figured out what Donnie's favorite Sunday school subject is? Slothfulness. Laziness. Not working. Is that right, Donnie? You hit that as hard as you get off of it. Well, he chased them boys around the stick all their life. Work, 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 work. No. I'm teasing, aggravating. That's the deal. My deal is, you're going to get a hold of me. It's just, there's a lady called me this week. She wanted to know if the church could give her money to travel. She had another sick relative. She needed to get there. We've given her money two or three times, helped her out. She's always got a dead relative that's needing to be buried. She got to get there, or she's got one sick fixing to die getting there, and they're all in different states. And I said, well, ma'am, I said, I'll tell you, we've helped you before. And I said, do you work? No, she said, I don't. I'm on disability. But now she said, I could work some if you all pay me in cash. She told me that. I said, ma'am, that's lying and cheating. That's dishonest, don't you think? Well, she said, I guess maybe it is. I said, well, what else do you do? Oh, she said, I get food stamps. I told you I'd park here. But this happened this week. She said, I get food stamps. And she said, I'm on Medicaid, Medicare, and basically every program she can get her hands on. And I said, so you're up here calling the church today wanting money to travel somewhere. I don't even know who they are. I have no idea we're lying to me, telling the truth. And I said, this is repeatedly, but you don't really care about going to church anywhere. You just want churches to help you. I said, you know what I think? And Reggie didn't quite get in the flesh. I said, we ain't helping you. But I will tell you what went through my mind. You're a blood-sucking parasite. I did tell her this. I said, can I tell you the truth? I said, your neighbors is out sweating and working today to pay for your low-down lifestyle. You're the problem with America. We're not doing nothing to help you. She probably won't see her for a while. I have no compassion for that stuff. None. I hate it. Bible says you won't work, you won't eat. And it's just the saddest thing in the world. I mean, bleeding every system. I'll tell you what, I'm going to show you how wicked the government is. You drive down at Mountain Grove, go out on Business 60, there's a little sign that says WIC, a big sign that says WIC, WIC. Now, what are they telling people? And what you, you know, I've got a new program for the government to start called MIC. MIC. Men, infants, and children. Huh? Why do they call it women, infants, and children? They're busting the home up. They're encouraging women to leave their husbands. That's exactly right. Amen. I mean, I'm not a vandal. But if I was a vandal, I'd go tear that sign down. That government institution is trying to tear homes up. Let me tell you something. A lot of women didn't think they could run the government. They wouldn't leave their husband. Amen. Amen. Well, we was preaching. Now we're meddling. The Bible said in Proverbs 3:14 that wisdom and understanding is better than silver and fine gold. I wonder if we really believe that. The Bible said in Proverbs 8:11 that wisdom is better than rubies. The Bible said in Proverbs 8:19 that the fruit of wisdom is better than gold or silver. In Proverbs 15:16-17, better is little with the fear of the Lord, and better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. God says it's better off for you and your wife just to have crackers and milk or cornbread. By the way, cornbread's good food. Amen. That ain't low living. Cornbread's high living. But it's better to have old dry crackers than to have the big old steak and all the fixings and hating each other in your house. Better be poor and love each other. Amen. That's the truth. And Proverbs 16, verse 9, better is little with righteousness than great revenues without righteousness. Proverbs 16:16, how much better it is to get wisdom than gold. Hey, you kids growing up wanting to get an education, God says it's better to get wisdom than gold. Proverbs 16:19, it's better to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Proverbs 17:1, better is a dry morsel and quietness therewith than a house full of sacrifices with strife. Proverbs 19:1, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips than is a fool. Proverbs 19:22, better, a poor man is better than a liar. Better be poor than be a liar. God says there's things better and I want things better. Amen. Proverbs 21:9, better to dwell. You ladies plug your fingers here for just a little bit. Better to dwell in the corner of a housetop or in the wilderness than with a brawling, contentious, angry woman. That's the truth. Men must be so noble and wonderful and spiritual that God never saw the need to say anything about me. No, I'm going to tell you something. I want to encourage you. I want to say, I'm not trying to balance the budget. I'm not trying to balance it out tonight, but you can ask my wife. I'm thankful for the women of this church. I'll tell you right now. I tell you, there ain't nothing worse than a church than a bunch of gossiping, tongue-wagging, lizard-tongued Jezebel. They've killed more churches than you can count. And I'll tell you something. I think we ought to give women honor that are submissive to their husbands. I think we ought to give women honor that are modest. I think we ought to honor women that are quiet and have a meek and a quiet spirit. I think God will say, bless you, and God bless you for being what you ought to be. That's what I believe. And I mean it. The Bible said, give honor where honor's due. And I thank God that I ain't got a bunch of Jezebels as a pastor. I wouldn't get along with them. You ever notice an old Jezebel won't stay here very long? An old she-wolf goes out. How many members old Brother Larry Brown's message on blowing the whistle on the wood? I'll tell you what, I've seen that so many times. I mean, 30 years of preaching, I've seen it. Some old boy come in here and he acts like he's the head of his house. Ain't I, honey? I am, ain't I? That's right. I don't mean to be, I hope I'm not sounding mean. I'm just trying to be honest. The Bible said in Proverbs 27:5, listen to this, open rebuke is better than secret love. Some old boy that rebukes you openly is better than somebody that loves you secretly. Proverbs 28:6, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Ecclesiastes. Now, when you get in the book of Ecclesiastes, be real careful and cautious about anything when you're reading it. It's the Bible just the same as anything else. The trouble is that the world takes Ecclesiastes and makes doctrine out of it. And it's not a doctrinal book. And Ecclesiastes has a lot of things in it that says about better. And some of them are wonderful things. But you can see that view it, under the sun. The whole key to the book of Ecclesiastes is the phrase under the sun. What it is the view of man about life under the sun, not above the sun. And a lot of stuff that he says in there is from the viewpoint of a man who cannot understand the ways of God and is seeing life from his own perspective. The world writes songs out of Ecclesiastes. Lodges quote Ecclesiastes and do a whole realm on it, on a lodge funeral out of Ecclesiastes. And taking it to be biblical doctrine and using it totally wrong. Proverbs 28, verse number 6, the Bible says, better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness, the perverse in his way that be rich. Ecclesiastes 4:6, better is a handful with quietness than both hands full in travail and vexation of spirit. Ecclesiastes 4:13, better is a poor and wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished. Ecclesiastes 5:5, better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow not pay. Ecclesiastes 7:5, better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. I guarantee you that just shows you where America's at. They want to hear the song of fools. They won't give you a dime for the rebuke of the wise. Chapter 7, verse number 8, better is the patient in spirit than the proud in spirit. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 6, Jesus said that we're better for you to have a millstone hang about your neck and be cast in the depths of the sea than to offend one of these little ones. Matthew 18, verse 8, 9 said, better have your hand cut off, your foot cut off, your eye taken out, and go into heaven than have all your body faculties and die and go to hell. That's something else. Amen. I'd like to preach on this. When I was looking, I don't know how come the other day, I just in a evening tried to work this thing finally out, but man, when I read this, I'll tell you why I about jumped. In Luke chapter 5, verse 39, it says, the old is better. The old is better. The old book, the old songs. The old preaching, the old praising, it's better. Philippians chapter 1, to depart and to be with Christ is far better. I enjoy life. I enjoy nature. I enjoy church. But I tell you what, you talk about having church. When I depart, I will enter a church service like I've never been in my life. God says to depart and to be with Christ is far better. Now, when God says, he'd been saying better all along until he got there. We said, when you depart and be with Christ, that's far better. He accentuated it. Philippians 2, chapter 2 and verse number 3. And this is an amazing verse. It's a good one. He said, we're to esteem each other better than ourselves. Well, when you get in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews is the better book. It's the book of betters. It says Christ is better than the angels in chapter 1, verse 4. To hear some people talk, you know, to hear the Catholics talk, they think Saint so-and-so is better. You know, I got tickled. I bet some of them's having a fit. They changed their name Saint John's to Mercy. You see what? That's a secular move. That's taking things away. You know, I mean, no big deal. That's another subject. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. God said, I'm persuaded that there's better things that accompany salvation. He's talking about, that's the passage of Scripture a lot of people use to prove or try to prove that you lose your salvation. And God's actually comparing those who are truly saved to those who are not saved. And he talks about the briars and the thorns. And he said, no, and then ends it up saying this. But he said, there are better things that accompany salvation than this. He said, if you're saved, that ain't what the fruit that's produced out of a saved man. He said, there are better things. And I want to tell you, there is better things that accompanies salvation. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22, Christ is a better testament. In chapter number 8, verse number 6, he has a better covenant. In chapter 8, verse number 6, he has better promises. In chapter 9, verse 23, he's a better sacrifice. He was, wasn't he? It says he actually teaches that he's better blood. See, they had the lambs, they had the sacrifices, they had the blood, but Christ is a better sacrifice with better blood. In, I like this. In Hebrews 10:34, we have a better and enduring substance. How many's ever lost something you had? You worked your life and things happen, you lost. Things just don't last here much, do they? I mean, the best you can hang on, you're going to lose it. God says we have a better and an enduring substance in heaven. I'll really be honest with you tonight. I know I'm not preaching. I'm just kind of going through this. But we really need to get a hold of this thing about eternity. And that we're just temporal here. That everything we have is temporal. And that that is far better. And just, you know, I wrote my Bible 7 years ago. Don't drive your tent stakes too deep. You're not staying here very long. God says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16, that we have a better country. In 11:35, he said we have a better resurrection. And in chapter 12, verse 24, he says again we have better blood. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, it's better to suffer for well-doing than to suffer for evil-doing. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 20, he said it's better to have not known the way of righteousness than after you've known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. In Christ, you and I have everything in Christ is better than the world and the devil has to offer. I'll be honest with you, I think that was the big issue with me when I got saved at 28 years of age was, is it really better? If I serve God, will it really be better? You're sitting out there at night and you're 16, 18, 20, 25, 30 years old. Maybe you're kind of in that shifting decision. Sometimes in parents, you know, we're going to really serve God. We're going to really commit to God. Will it be better if we really give our life to God? I think one of the things that Satan tries to tell you and I and our families is this, that it's not better. It's not pain. Folks, this isn't the end of the book yet. But we do have a better life. I wouldn't trade. I don't care. And I may, if I lost everything I have tangibly, it's better. It's better. That is actually what the Old Testament better is teaching you. That wisdom, and who is our wisdom? Christ is our wisdom. Wisdom is better than gold. Wisdom is, you know, these things are better than riches. And I want to say to you tonight, at the point of life I'm in, at 50, almost 59 years of age, 30 years in the ministry, it's better. You know, Ralph, what do you reckon I'd have done if I hadn't surrendered to preach? I don't know. But I'm going to tell you this much. As sorry as I am, and mean and ornery, and, you know, I'm not very, what do you call it, really, really smooth. But as sorry as I've been, it's better than anything that I could have served my life for otherwise. I'm glad. I do not regret serving the Lord. Amen. I'm going to tell you tonight, I've got a better book. Amen. I've got a better salvation. Amen. I've got blood salvation. I've got eternal redemption. I've got a better peace. I've got better joy. Joy is something on the inside of you. By the way, joy is just an abiding thing. Happiness is, well, if we got money today and no money, you know, happiness just comes up and down. But joy, something's inside you, steady. I've got a better home in heaven. I've got a mansion being built. I heard a guy say, I heard an old boy say, he said, I stayed in motels for 13 years. He said, I read the Revised Standard Version. It said that in my house are many, many rooms. He said, if there's rooms, I'm not interested. He said, I want a mansion. He said, I've been staying in rooms 13 years. Been staying in rooms 13 years. I'm not interested in a room. Well, don't you? I don't blame him. You know, I never did. I've not been, years and years ago, did a lot of evangelistic work. And I'll tell you what, you want to depress me and put me in the spiritual tailspin, put me in a motel room. I'd come out of there. I mean, it's the dumbest thing a church can do unless especially if somebody's by themselves. Now, if their family's with them, that's wonderful. That'd be a nice thing to do. But to stick somebody off in a motel room and come and get them at 30 minutes before church service, you don't know the area, you don't know where you're at, you ain't got a car. He said, well, you could spend the whole day with Jesus. Well, why don't you try it? Why don't you go spend the day in a motel? If I'm going to spend the whole day with Jesus, I want to be in my four-wheeler on the backside of my farm. Amen. I mean, you know, and you do, but pretty soon, you know, you've read, you've prayed, you've prepared, you know, then, you know, it just drove me crazy. I told him, I said, put me a tent in the back of your yard. I don't care what you do. Just don't put me in a motel room. Let me sleep in the back of your truck. You know, but anyway, but I'm glad I got a home in heaven. Amen. A better home. You know what? I thank the Lord for the home I have. I really do. But boy, what a home we have in heaven, eternal in the heavens. We got a better home. I got a better future. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. Everything's better with Jesus Christ. I got a better song. Oh, man alive, when I got saved, I was singing Take It Easy. How many knows who wrote Take It Easy? Huh? Eagles. Yeah, some of you old heathen out there just like me. And before I got growed up, you know, I'd, why don't you love me like you used to do? Doesn't that really lift you? I saw Molly down at the beer joint with old Joe. Good grief. It's no wonder they're all popping pills. I mean, can you imagine? Can you do that? Why don't you love me like you used to do? Down you go, you know. I got a new song, amen. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. I care not today what tomorrow may bring, your shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth everything. All of my worry is vain. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. You know, I never get tired of those songs, and nobody's voting on the top 100. Amen. I got better song, better life. Everything's better with God in it. I've got a better purpose. I got a better purpose. It's not just about making money. It's not just about making a living. It's not just about, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. There's an eternal purpose. And then it's a better life. Well, God just gives a better life. Amen. Just a better, better, better life. I'll tell you what, God can make your home better. I have a better treasure in this earthen vessel, Christ. By the way, I want to give you a doctrinal, theological truth tonight that you have, and here it is, you have eternity in you if you're saved. You do. You say, how to do that? Because Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is eternal. You have eternity in you now. I'll tell you, there's a passage of scripture nobody believes. I mean, you can't hardly find anybody that believes it, and that is that he that believeth and liveth shall never die. I ain't dying. I have eternal life. I am not dying. I am moving out. But I ain't dying. He shall never die. You believe it or don't believe it? You say, yeah, I know I watched him. He died. No, he didn't. He moved out. All right. I have a better wisdom, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have a better eternity, not the lake of fire. Let's stand and go home. I appreciate you putting up with me. That probably wasn't very much, but I hope it'll help you to know that you've got a better life.